Everybody, welcome to Section 314 Podcast. My name is Sam. With me, as always, is my co-host, Maggie. And we are coming up, for the St. Louis Blues, we are coming up on the NHL Winter Classic. And right now, if you are going to the game, you know, if you've seen the pictures, the Blues finally posted pictures of Wrigley Field, of the rink being built, you know, around second base and a little bit of the outfield. It's starting to get real. If you're going to the game, you know, hit us up. If you know somebody going to the game, tell them to send us a message on social media at Blues Fan Base and, you know, hop on the podcast, because on January 2nd, we're doing a Winter Classic podcast special going through, you know, everybody's experience. You know, we already got three guests lined up to join us on the podcast on January 2nd. So if you are going to the game, if you know somebody that's going to the game, you know, tell them to hit us up to join the special pod on January 2nd. And with that, we're going to get into this, you know, this last full road trip, you know, three-game road trip for the Blues before the winter, before they come home for Christmas for a couple more games. And then you got the Winter Classic, as well as Maggie here, who went to the Blues-Panthers game in Florida and Sunrise. And to start off, what did you think of the Blues game against Tampa Bay Lightning?
Well, you know that I couldn't watch it at all because it was blacked out because I live in Florida. So I was basically following through you and Twitter and everything on my phone. So honestly, I don't have much to say. I am kind of disappointed they did not get the win, but I will send it back to you.
All right. Sorry about that. Didn't realize it was, I mean, yeah, I figured you might have been able to like see some highlights or something eventually, but it seemed like
it has been a busy week for me.
It seemed like the Lightning were, you know, they were super fast. The thing is, they move fast. They, you know, they set up plays very fast. They are making sure they got to the open spaces when they weren't on the puck, and they made sure that their passes were quick, and it was just, I don't know, it was too much for us to handle. And I feel like a trend that we're starting to get, you know, negatively on the Blues is that we seem to always like leave somebody open back door. It's like that's where they get us. You know, they set up quick plays, they set up, you know, good passing against us, and then for whatever reason at the last second there's somebody back door that, you know, scraps for a goal or gets a one-time shot off or something to put it away. And you know, the Lightning came out to a 2-0 lead against the Blues, but then finally Buchnevich, you know, he kind of just did exactly what I was just talking about. He was sitting back door, and it's like we were out shooting Tampa too. It's like we were down 2-0, but we were out shooting them. And finally, Buchnevich gets the goal back to make it 2-1. And then also Binnington, he seems to be giving up another weak goal. they beat him like top right, like from like far out. It seems like he could have had it. And then like if you were watching the game, you noticed that he was pulled after that third goal. And that would end up being the final score, 3-1, with the Lightning getting the win. And something that's also trending in the wrong direction lately for the Blues is our power play. We were 0-2 on the power play there against Tampa Bay. So again, we got to do better with covering our guys in the D zone. You know, you gotta stay with your man in the D zone. It just seems like there's too many times now lately where it looks like the other team's on the power play and it's still a 5-on-5. So we got to take control of that. We got to stop. We got to stay with our man. We got to do better on the power plays. And then I think we had a little bit better game against the Panthers, and you were actually at that game in Sunrise, Florida. So let's hear it. You know, let's talk about this Blues Panthers game.
Yeah. So, was a 2-hour and 20-minute drive that turned into a 3-hour 20-minute drive because of traffic. So I got to the game about 10 minutes in. So I did miss that Sundquist goal. Unfortunate. The only goal that the Blues scored that game. But yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I think the Blues played a lot better from, I mean, what you're saying from the Lightning game, just because I didn't get to watch, but it just seemed like they were super scrappy with the Panthers, but the Panthers are a scrappy team, so kind of have to just keep up with them. But they end up having 27 shots on goal. They were 50% from the faceoff, 21 hits, 21 block shots, 5 takeaways. It was just a little unfortunate. The refs were not very good, I would say, for either team. I just, with the missed call on Jake Neighbors, and we don't even know what his status is right now. And then the tripping call on Braden Schenn in overtime, which honestly, I did not see a tripping call. I mean, they're getting scrappy. It's overtime. They want the game to be over with. It's very odd. I also want to go back to the first goal that the Panthers scored. To me, it did not look like a goal. It literally hit the top of the crossbar and went up in the air. So I was a little confused by that. I don't know how it looked on TV, but I was surprised there wasn't a challenge on that. But I also don't know if there's a certain spot on the post that, automatically is a goal or something. But to me, it was strange. It hit the top and literally bounced up in the air. Did not go down, did not go down and hit the line, did not go in the goal. So it was just strange. It was cool to go to an away arena. I don't have to go back because, 95% of the fans became fans in June of 24. So, they're kind of just there and they don't really know what's going on. But we did meet some nice people. We did meet some St. Louis Cardinal fans, some Blues fans. Not a lot of Blues fans. It was mostly Panthers. So it was a good experience. It was fun. Probably next year go to Tampa versus Blues. We'll see. But yeah, it was a good experience.
And even then, it's like also the third period, like I said before, it seemed like the beginning of the third period against the Florida Panthers. I for a second, it was like, are the Panthers on the power play? And it was still a 5-on-5, and they just took it to us with the pressure. I felt like we needed better puck control in the third period and better possession in the third period against the Panthers. And then again, the whole power play thing, we were 0 for 2 on power plays, against the Panthers. And it's like, if you convert on maybe at least one of those power plays, it's like maybe this game doesn't go to overtime. Maybe you can steal a win there in Florida. But that's what makes or breaks those games, is like, if you can't get on the power, when those close games happen, if you can't convert on the power play, that could be the reason you end up losing the game. And then again, you go to overtime, and you go to overtime, and then all of a sudden you get this weird fluke terrible call on tripping on Shen, and then next thing the next play they bring it down the ice and scores. And that's where you got to be better on your power play, so you don't have to control your own fate, so that's things like that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a fun game to see. I don't know about you, but seeing games in real life to watching them on the TV is very, very different. That's for sure. Especially when Broberg got a slap shot to the face and it snapped his visor.
That was
That
painful to
was kind
watch.
of, yeah. Even in person, that was painful to watch.
Yeah, so we got one more game on the road against the Detroit Red Wings, and a reunion, a little bit of a reunion with Vladimir Tarasenko. So that'll be cool at Little Caesars Arena. And then it's Christmas break. We come home for two games against the Nashville Predators on Friday after Christmas, and then Sunday, afternoon, early afternoon game against the Buffalo Sabres. And
Oh
then
man, the Sabres, they just lost 13 in a row, man.
yeah, I think, let's see, that's like, I think every NHL team has won a game in December except the Buffalo Sabres, I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong,
Yeah.
y'all. Please double check me on that, but I'm pretty
I
sure
think you're
that's the
right.
stat right now.
I think you're right, because I think I saw that the last time they won was the third week of November.
It would be such a Blues thing for the Sabres to get their first win in December against the Blues.
I was just about to say that, especially a 2 p.m. game on a Sunday.
Right,
The
where we're
day
like we've
games
kind of
are not the great.
the Blues just take a QB kneel for the month, and we're like, you know what, we're ready to go against for the Winter Classic. Let's just let the Sabres get this W.
Then go to Chicago and put 10 goals on Connor Bedard for the Winter Classic.
Yeah, so just three more games and it's Winter Classic time. Last road trip against Detroit. You know, if you're listening to this, you know we're probably, you know, it's one day away from the Detroit game, or they're playing this evening against Detroit. We'll see. However, whenever you're listening to this podcast, two more
It
games and Winter Classic time.
should be a good game, I would think. I think both teams are going to want to get a win. Detroit literally just lost back-to-back nights to the Montreal Canadiens, which is a strange schedule that you're playing the same team twice
Yeah,
back-to-back.
we're like I said this in an earlier pod. We're doing the same thing in January. We got two games at home against the Calgary Flames, and then the next week. No, actually, we do it 3 times in January. You have one game on the road against Columbus, and then a week later you play them at home. Then the next week you have two games at home against the Flames. Then the third week or fourth week, however you want to call it. You have one road game in Vegas, and then in the same week, you have a home game against Vegas. So it's just very weird scheduling.
Whoever made the schedule this year should be fired.
So we'll cover, you know, it's not much left to talk about, not many more games for the Blues until the Winter Classic, really. So we're gonna go ahead and move on to some football with Jacob, our special guest here, a Patriots
Hey,
fan.
how are you?
Good, how are
Hey,
you?
how
How's it
are
going,
you?
man?
Popping back on. Dude, it's rough. I mean, talking about schedules, I hate the past schedule to end the year. I hate that. We have no chance. We're ending up with like a top three. It's not happening. It's not happening. We're not beating Buffalo. I just said this to somebody just for a little bit. We're not beating Buffalo unless they have the AFC East locked up the last week of the year and they play all the games.
And the Chiefs.
I got a question for both of you guys.
Yeah,
Just
go
because,
ahead.
you know, I don't follow football. Well, I follow it. I just am not a huge fan or have a team that I follow. If today was the Super Bowl, which two teams would you think would be playing today?
Lions
Anyone
and
can
Chiefs.
go.
Lions and Chiefs, probably.
Yeah, I would say
So
that.
I don't want to see Kansas City from the AFC, but I feel like it's. The Lions can run the NFC even with all their injuries. That's fine. It's the teams.
I'll just, because he said that, I'll say the Buffalo Bills and the Lions, and that's probably
I
what.
don't want to. Yeah. I think that's the Super, I mean, that's the joke that the Super Bowl America wants.
Exactly. Yeah,
Bills versus
exactly.
Lions. People who've
That's
never
what I
won,
want.
never been there. I mean, I just want to see the Lions win. Like, I've said this for the last 2 years. I'm like, I want to see a Lions win before the Patriots get back there.
That's
Because they're
valid.
primed already.
You want to see a lot of teams honestly get there before the Patriots get back there. But also, Patriots are a whole different team now, a whole different thing
It's
that's
a little
going on
different.
for them,
Right, we're back
you
at the
know?
bottom like we were in the 70s.
We have a 325 game of the Jaguars, who are 3-11, and then the Raiders, who are 2-12. That's just going to be an absolute cripple
You're playing Derek Carr's old team. He could have like a Hall of Fame game for that.
show. Right, exactly. Yeah, I actually, you know, the Saints got the Packers tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, and it's coming out that Spencer Rattler and some of the other QBs on the team, they went to their like 10 degree freezer at their practice facility. I don't know how long it was. I don't know how long the duration was, but they literally sat in there in the 10 degree freezer and just went over their playbook for the game the entire
Yeah,
time.
it's prepping for Green Bay. Okay. I
Yeah.
was going to say they're not trying to Antonio Brown themselves in the cryo chamber. They're like trying to prep for
No, they're yeah,
cold weather.
exactly. They're trying to get ready for cold weather in Lambeau.
I mean, if they prepare any better than the Dolphins today, I think they'll be fine.
It snowing up in Green Bay right now?
When is it not? If it's not snowing, it's at least like 12 degrees.
Gotcha.
Let's see what we got. Green
Yeah,
Bay, Wisconsin.
My grandparents are really big Green Bay fans, so shout out to my grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, it's 23 degrees right now in Green Bay. It's kind of partly cloudy, but it says here 65% chance of snow on Monday.
Okay, yep. So we might be seeing a little bit of snow.
So we'll see.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Saints are pretty much like the next team to be eliminated for playoff contention. So they basically just need a win against Green Bay and everything else under the sun to go right. Yeah, to stay in. But at this point, like after last week against the Commanders, where we tied the game up, we tied the game up, and instead of just like kicking the field goal to like send it to OT or whatever to tie it, we went for two to try and win it, and it just didn't pan out. And I get it, like everyone's saying like, yeah, you know, you had nothing else to lose, blah, blah, blah. But I just kind of saw it as like, be aggressive. You got nothing else to lose, you know, be creative. And it's a win-win if you, you know, I don't know. But it was like, that was your best. I know like the Saints aren't going too far, but in the heat of the moment there, it's like your best chances to like keep your season alive and keep going and stuff like that. Like just play it smart and go for the field goal. But yeah, I mean, I get it now. It's like, I think Saints are currently like number, like the 10th pick overall for the draft as of right now before Monday Night Football. So we'll see. What do you think the Patriots, like obviously the Patriots are probably going to get a, you know, probably like top 10 pick for the end of this, by the end of the season. Who do they need to draft?
So there's the constant argument of play, like go get a receiver, go get Travis Hunter, go get talent. And I get that, but there's so many other weaknesses to be able to get that. Because, I mean, Drake May is doing what he can with the offensive line he has in front of him. Whoever's the top O-line prospect, if he's top five available, go get him. Don't, like, Travis Hunter could be cool, could be great. But if everybody's talking about him already playing defense, cool, you're just putting him opposite Christian Gonzalez. You're not giving Drake May help. The kid from Arizona, you could go out there and get, again, you put more receivers out there. How does he have time to get him the ball? There's other teams who've done rebuilds where they go and get offensive line in the first round, trade back into the first round and get a skill player. I feel like if the Patriots are going to be aggressive to like actively rebuild, you got to do that. You got to work fast. You got to get line. You got to get around Drake May. But we'll see if they do it. I mean, it's Gerard Mayo. Clearly every decision this year has been, we're going to be aggressive. Oh no, I'm going to walk that back the next time.
So, like, obviously, like, the Patriots aren't in their prime years right now, but is there any, like, fun things you like to do for, like, football playoffs since, you know, they're going to be starting here in a couple weeks?
I mean, I usually just watch. I'll kick it. Most of the time, games will just be on in the background. Sadly, like, at this point, I'll fall asleep during games. It's bad. It depends on the team. I mean, like, this year, like, last year, I was actively, like, from Thanksgiving to the end of the year, it was, let's go Lions, let's, like, all in on Motor City Dan Campbell. Like, that's, it's the go-to. It's just like, I was looking at literally Lions gear last year to be like, yeah, let's prep for the playoffs. Let's prep for the Lions making a run.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's not great. It's going to be one of these, like, whatever. Like, wild card weekend, I think I'll be just getting back from Florida.
Florida! Yeah, I'm going to be seeing Jacobson.
Oh, sick. Yeah. That'll be cool.
Yeah. It'll work out. So I think I'm a couple hours away where it's a nice, like, meet in the middle spot. But yeah, it's one of those where I'm like, playoffs when the Pats aren't in it. I had so many years in college where it was like the Patriots had a bye, so I didn't care about wild card. We'd usually be on vacation, so I'd be, like, at a bar near a pool or a beach and be looking up and be like, oh yeah, the Steelers are playing in the snow. Cool. And meanwhile, I'm sitting in, like, 75-degree weather, like, and I'm chilling. I don't know. I mean, football's football. I kind of had it on all and off, on and off yesterday between the division, the FCS semifinal, the Saturday games for the NFL, college football playoff round one. Football's football. It's just on. It's background noise. Maggie probably does the same with hockey at this point.
I'm pretty sure, all the college football games, like the difference in the scoring was at least like a 10-point difference, like in the final score and or more.
It was bad. It was bad. I mean, I think Ohio State won by 14. Texas yeah, 40 won by 14.
42 to 17. Texas won 38 to 24. Yeah.
Yeah. Penn State crushed. I was like, but I'm like, I said, of all the Southern schools that could be ready to go play in a Northern school, quote unquote, I think Tennessee was probably the closest to being like able to go into Columbus and play. Because SMU going to Happy Valley, like that game, I was like, some of these are just going to be like cakewalks. They're not going to be fun.
Yeah, and the next, I think like the next playoff, college football playoff game is not until New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's bowl games.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Penn State at Boise State. And then all the rest will be New Year's Day, obviously.
Six. That'll be interesting to see. Because, I mean, being a Michigan fan last year kind of helped. Now, this year it just didn't, because Michigan did just marginally better than the Patriots did. So I watched a lot more Michigan football last year and cared, because they at least made the playoffs last year.
Oh, so you saw like the whole flag painting thing. Oh, yeah, down at Ohio State. I watched
that whole thing. That thing was an insane melee of just ridiculousness. And then all the camera footage coming out of like, oh yeah, it's Columbus police just pepper spraying Michigan players,
yes, Ohio State players. I saw a picture of that. I guess
Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, just being like completely confused as to what's going on was hilarious, because it's like one of those things where it's like, Sharon Moore, head coach of Michigan, is pulling kids out of the pile, telling them to go to the locker room, stop getting into a fight. Ryan Day is just 15, 20 yards away, just staring off in his face, like, and you just see the camera zoom in on him, and he just goes, what's going on? Like, he's so lost.
Oh, my gosh. Point
where Ohio, and this is, like, Aaron's thing, shout out to another Steve, who just, like, it's the microcosm of how bad Ohio State is against Michigan in the last 4 years. It's just, Ryan Day seemingly doesn't know how to coach against Michigan. He's 1-4 against them in the last 5 years, 6 years, because 2020 got canceled because most of Michigan's team got COVID the week of the game. It's one of those where it's like, you can't be this inept against like the biggest school that you need to beat as head coach. Like, it doesn't matter what happens to Ohio in the playoff. Like, if Ohio State doesn't win the college football playoff, there's talk of him getting fired. And that's kind of wild that you can have success against everyone else and get fired. But yeah, I mean, if it's the biggest thing.
Yeah, he needs to understand the definition of rivalry.
Yeah, it seems like, and it was a thing that was talked about around this year's, was Ohio State doesn't take it seriously anymore. Like, Michigan seems to take it more seriously and play their best football, regardless of how they're doing against Ohio State. Ohio State does not play their best football against Michigan. Like, it's Ohio State will just kind of be like, oh yeah, Michigan has a great run defense, we're going to run it up the middle every play. That's what happened this year. That's why it was such a low-scoring game, because Ohio State, instead of throwing it to the outside where Michigan's missing their top corners, you have first-round draft pick quality receivers. No, we're going to run it up the middle instead of throwing it on the outside. Like, we're going to try and go at Michigan's strength. To do what? To prove that you can't? It's surprising, but it's funny to watch.
Granted. And that's what I love about, you know, the St. Louis Chicago rivalry with the Cardinals or the Blues. It's like, no matter how the teams are doing, whether one's good and one's bad, whether both are bad or whatever the situation is, it's like when the first pitch goes out or the puck's dropped, it's like, you know, there's always tension there, and you're always fighting to make sure that, you know, that's, you know what's on the line, you know, for that rivalry, and you want to keep that going regardless of, you know, who's on the team now or, you know, 5 years from now. Still, that rivalry is still there, and you can feel it no matter how good or bad those teams are. And that's what I love.
Right. No, that was the thing. Like, I mean, even in the Patriots' dominant years, it took really bad Jets and Dolphins teams and Bills teams to not have a competitive game. Like, it at least be competitive for three quarters. Because they knew, hey, if we can get anything on the person basically winning the division every year, we're in good shape. And it's interesting to see teams just kind of lay down and take it. And it's
right.
Like, you're playing a game that's so hyped up, so important to you as an organization.
And you're, I would just want my money back.
Oh, yeah. Every Ohio State fan is just like, well, there was an Ohio lawmaker who tried to propose a law where you can't plant a flag in Ohio Stadium.
Oh, I saw that proposal.
Like, they're trying to make it illegal to plant a flag when you beat Ohio State. And I'm like, that's hilarious that you're actually going to think that's going to happen.
It starts with the coaching, man. It starts with the coaching, it seems like.
Right. I mean, I've grown up with Michigan, being a Michigan fan, but growing up playing against Urban Meyer, yikes. Playing against, I forget who the guy was before, but like Jim Tressel, So Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer basically beat Michigan for 15, 20 straight years, where Michigan maybe got 3 wins in that time. And then we get Ryan Day, where he just got upset because fake Lou Holtz said he's weak, and then just crumbles. Like, Ohio State needs to hire it's funny to say this as a Patriots fan who likes Mike Vrabel, but it's like Ohio State needs to hire Mike Vrabel as their next head coach.
Somebody will take it seriously.
And he played for Ohio State. He's gone back and coached there once before. Like, hire an alumni who cares about the game, cares about Ohio State being like a model program. Like, exactly. You can't stick with a guy who's just like, yeah, I'm going to take every game seriously except for Michigan. I'm going to clearly not make great decisions, make everybody question what my thought process is. I don't know. I mean, I think the interesting thing of watching this 12-team playoff and Ohio State getting in without winning the Big Ten, of course they deserve to get in, but, like, it definitely got an imbalanced schedule for some, where, like, there were teams who borderline shouldn't have made it, playing teams like Penn State, who did well all year, and...
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked that they went from 4 to 12. Like, they didn't do 4 to 8 to 12. To just check an 8-team playoff. They went, we're going straight to 12.
And also, this is, you know, I think it's, like, the first year of this, so it's, like, there's going to be some kinks in the system, some bugs in the system until they kind of work out, okay, what's going to work best with all these. So now you're going to get teams from, you know, different aspects. Since it's a wider range of playoff teams, it's, like, we got to find a way to make sure it's, like, a more evenly matched. It's, like, you know, this conference is definitely going to be on a different level than this conference when it comes down to those top teams from each conference. And you put them together, and you're, like, this is not even a football game anymore.
Right, like, picking the top teams from, it used to be Power 5 conferences, now it's Power 4, because realistically the Pac-12 does not exist. So you got the ACC, the Big 10, Big 12, the SEC. Okay, you're picking teams from those 4 conferences, essentially. Cool. But then you do have your Boise States, who won the Mountain West, were dominant, and their only loss was to the number one overall team, Oregon. So that's a team who does deserve to get in, did win their conference. Cool. No knock on SMU, but, like, were they really up to, like, going against, I mean, any given Saturday, but were they up to going against Penn State? At Penn State?
Right, exactly. That's a hard place to play.
Indiana only beat, like, somebody looked at Indiana's Big Ten schedule. They beat the... like, I think, 7th and lower ranked Big Ten teams this year. They lost to Ohio State, and every Big Ten team, so they were, like, I think 7-1 in the Big Ten, but their 7 wins were with, like, the 7th or lower ranked Big Ten teams. So you go into Notre Dame, who's played well all year, and it shows, okay, yeah, Cignetti can do something. It didn't get them, but, like, Indiana looked playoff ready all year. You didn't hear about SMU all year. You didn't hear about Clemson all year. Like, you heard about Texas, you heard about Ohio State, you heard about Notre Dame, Penn State. Indiana was the only, like, road team this weekend that you heard about making the playoff all year. We'll see. I mean, it's the interesting part of football is that low seeds can always go in and win. But I think this year, because all the high seeds were the, quote, cold weather teams, it changed it. If it wasn't all cold weather, I think it would make a difference.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm sure maybe, like, in the next few years or so, they'll kind of figure out maybe a better system. But for now, do you have anything else you want to add before we get out of here, Jacob?
Not really. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm not a Maggie knows, not a huge honest person. I mean, you guys get the Blues getting Jim. Makes it, I mean, it just adds to the kind of New England getting back into their early 2000s woes. The Celtics are the one good team, seemingly. The Red Sox are not spending money. The Patriots are being the Patriots. And the Bruins are like, we're going to let go of a guy who helped us set the points record.
Right. Sure. Oh, God. But I mean, sure. I guess all I can say is thank you, unfortunately.
I know. I mean, Boston lets people go now. It's to everybody else's benefit, right? The Red Sox let Mookie go. Dodgers have won 2 World Series since he did.
Yeah, the Red Sox let I am Bloom go too. So he's with the Cardinals and he's going to take over for Mo in probably what, 2 years, I think, or 1 year.
Goldschmidt just signed with the Yankees.
Unfortunate.
Maggie, you got anything else? Anything else to say before we get out of here?
I don't think so. I think we covered all we needed for the Blues, and you guys got your football out.
So yeah, just want to thank you again, Jacob, for joining us. It's always good to, you know, talk sports, talk football, and just hanging out.
Thank you again, always, Jacob.
Wrap it up. Yeah.
I hope you have a great Christmas.
It's the progressive ad, right? Back in the wings.
Yeah. So yeah. So again, this will probably be, you know, our last episode for, you know, a hot minute. You know, with Christmas coming up, we'll try and squeeze in an episode maybe after Christmas. But if not, definitely, you know, after the Winter Classic, we'll have our Winter Classic special on January 2nd. You know, we're gonna have a couple of guests on board that, you know, that went to the game. We got a couple Blues fans. We had a Blackhawks fan who knows his hockey really well. So it'll be good to get, you know, different aspects from there. So again, if you're going to the Winter Classic, if you know people who are going to the Winter Classic, tell them to, you know, reach out to us on Twitter at Blues Fan Base. And just say, hey, like, you know, I'm going to the game. I want to hop on the pod and, you know, talk about my experience of going. So with that being said, thank you for listening and don't hesitate to stop by again to relax and take a load off of life. And until the ice is clean again, we'll see y'all very soon. Section 3 and 4, your favorite online tailgate.